Thank the Lord for His good word to us today. And as believers, you and I get to do many things in following Christ. We get to turn to Him for our troubles and heartaches and griefs. Now, we won't be doing that in heaven, because thank the Lord, we'll be at rest with Him and be rejoicing in Him 100%. We also get to pass on the Lord to each other and to people who don't know Him. That's part of our joyful assignment. Share what Jesus means to us, to other people. We won't be doing that in heaven, because folks there will know the Lord and be rejoicing in Him. But one of the things we do as believers, from the time we meet Christ to the time we go to heaven and continue on, is worship the Lord. It's really a heavenly activity that you and I are involved in this morning. And so we're so glad for the Lord's invitation to worship Him. I remember after I first received Christ, one of the first things I felt like doing in my heart was worshiping God. Prayer of thanks. I wanted to learn about music that would praise Him. So I did that. That was a natural draw that the Lord led me to once I put my trust in Him. And when you think about what happened to Jesus in His earthly ministry, from His birth to the time He ascended into heaven, people worshiped Him throughout the New Testament. When He was born in Bethlehem, who led the way? Angels led the way. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." So they worshiped. Shepherds, who were very shady characters in Jesus' day, they weren't considered legal citizens even. They couldn't give testimony in a court of law. Very humble people on the periphery of things. They came to visit Christ when He was born. They returned praising God. They honored Him just with their hearts. So if you feel that way about the Lord sometimes, hey, He accepts worship from a broken heart. Wise men came. They'd been seeking a long time. Came and brought a gift. Bowed down to worship Christ. So we join them in their activities. When Jesus rose from the dead, even, and He gave the Great Commission, go and tell others, God's Word says this: when the disciples saw Him, they worshiped Him. So you and I are doing what comes naturally to our hearts when we meet Christ. We worship the Lord. And it's centered around the Lord Himself. And that's something we don't want to forget, or we'll miss Him in worship. We'll miss the point of worship. And I use an illustration this morning to help us understand that. I do so with permission of one of our church folk. And let's say you and I were invited to a birthday party. Someone here in the room having a birthday. I picked Woody Lauffer, since many of you know him. And he's a blessing. I've known him for 3 months or so. And so Woody has a birthday party. You and I go to the birthday party. And what happens at birthday parties? We celebrate the person having the birthday. And so you and I come up to Woody. We get close to him, you know, during that time. Say good things to him directly and help him celebrate who he is. We say good things about him to one another. I don't want to say anything bad things about him during the birthday party. People give him cards, a card of honor. People give him gifts, big gifts, little gifts. He appreciates them all. They're given from sincere hearts. People even sing to Woody at the birthday party. And we close the party with a rousing chorus of, "For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny." Okay, and you and I leave that party, and we have a conversation. You say, wasn't that a great time, great experience, just enjoying Woody among us? And I say, well, I don't know. I didn't get much out of it. You say, what? I said, well, a lot of it really didn't apply to me. I was kind of bored. And you turn to me and say, Bob, that wasn't for you. That was for Woody. That was... that was... It's good to get a big amen out of that. That was for Woody. And we have to remember, our worship service is for Christ. For Christ. To honor Him, to give Him thanks, to give Him praise, to delight in who He is. Wow, a great time our hearts feel in worship when we do worship the Lord. If Jesus were to come today physically and was a part of our worship service, He is spiritually in a very strong sense. He gives us that promise. But if He were to come physically, He'd probably stand right in the middle of the center aisle. So we could all turn, gather around Him, sing to Him, honor Him, spend time loving Him, and surprise of all surprises, what good it does our hearts when we turn to the Lord that way in worship and give Him the praise due His name. That's the picture given in heaven about worship. The passage John read in Revelation, it says 10,000 times 10,000 angels gather around Christ and around the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they sing to Him. You all sang terrific today and the choir did. But you can imagine millions of angels praising God. I think we sound better sometimes than the angels because we're singing about being redeemed. God has loved us in a way He never loved the angels. He rescued us from hell. And then loved ones worship the Lord, people who are in heaven who have gone before us. So you and I, we're doing something today that the people in heaven are doing, worshiping Christ, pouring out hearts to Him. It says that the angels sing, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory." Just picture the best sounding group you ever heard. And then we come in, every creature in heaven and on earth, in the earth, in the sea, praising God. And this is what we sing: praise and honor and glory forever and ever be to Christ. What a chance we have today and every day to worship the Lord. And if I forget He's the center, I'll miss Him. And I have to say this, when we have a birthday party in our family, one of our loved ones do, I really do take delight in being there because you love your loved one. And you want to just give them a couple praises and honors, you know, they won't get throughout the week necessarily. I have also been to birthday parties for people I hardly know. Ugh, what a drag. Want the time to be over. Hardly know the fella, you know. People are saying good things about him. I have no idea if it's true or not true. I just want to get out of there. Worship of the Lord may or may not be personally satisfying to us, depending on our love for Christ at any one given time, at any one given Sunday, at any one given day of the week. He certainly invites us to honor Him, to learn about Him, to yield ourselves to Him, and just enjoy Him, to know that worship is a gift from the Lord to us. He invites us, and we say yes. And to always have that in your heart as you worship the Lord on Sunday and in the activities throughout the week. Now, second truth about worship I want us to get from the Scriptures is this: that worship involves, in the Bible, a variety of expressions to the Lord. And as we see these, I want you to know they're not the key, but they are there. I'll make a few comments about these as the fellows can help us out with an illustration here. These are expressions of worship we find in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and a variety of things. You'll see some of the ones that you're used to participating in and some that maybe you're not. Make a few comments about a number of these. First, we see a contrast: silence and singing. I don't know about you, sometimes I've been silent in worship because I really honor God. I almost don't know what to say because He's great. A.W. Tozer said that in the presence of a holy God, silence best besets us. In other words, sometimes it's good just to... God's God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, when you go to the house of worship, this is the Living Bible translation, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. In other words, the Lord. We're glad about Him. Silence. I've been silent too when I've been asleep in worship. So it's not the form that's the key, is it? I could be silent reverentially or silent snoozingly. The first way, hopefully, honors the Lord. Singing. Singing is a contrast to sing to the Lord. In the Scriptures, we're encouraged to sing from the heart. And then the Lord, we could say, Lord, open my mouth and my lips will bring forth your praise. That's Psalm 51. We need God's help to sing. Sometimes there's people who know the Lord very well who are shy and quiet and maybe don't sing because they're embarrassed to sing or they don't feel comfortable expressing themselves, even in the surrounded by a group of good singers like we have here today. And they sing from the heart, and during a great song, they will just be quiet. I try not to yell at a person like that and say, come on there, Smith, open your mouth and praise the Lord. I don't know what's going on in his heart. He might be praising the Lord louder than me with my zeal up here. So when we sing, you sing from the heart and sing as God enables. Loud, soft. He hears the heart more than the whatever else is going on there. Singing is a blessing. They'll be singing in heaven. Praying. Let's go to bowing down or falling down. The word worship itself really means to bow down to the Lord, to surrender to Him. Give Him the honor due His name. That's something we don't do a lot physically in worship. Hopefully we do in our hearts, remembering who the Lord is. Sometimes maybe we should kneel when we pray. People kneel after church sometimes as an altar call is given. They say, Lord, I need your help in some manner. That's a good thing. Falling down is when I had a person in worship fall down one time. It was during a wedding. It was very hot in the wedding. It was an usher who fainted. That's not what the Bible talks about. Falling down again would be to honor God. You notice in Revelation it said the elders fell down before Christ. And there's a song we sing, fall down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Instruction, some of you thrive on instruction. Unless instruction's happening, you feel like we didn't worship the Lord at all. It is one good expression of honoring Christ, and it is one. Move on to giving. Most of my early days as a Christian, I thought the offering time in church was kind of like halftime at a football game. It was a time just to mess around until the next thing happened. Reach for some candy, talk to my neighbor, blow my nose. But the offering time really is a time to honor Christ with a gift from the heart, could surrender to Him. There may be people converted during the offering as they say, Lord, I can't give anything to the plate today. I didn't plan on it, but I give to you myself. Paul said, give yourself first to the Lord and then to His work in terms of an offering. Giving. It's helped me to know that during the offering, it's one of the best times of worship. Sing in my heart, pray, be led by the instruments or whatever song's going on. Also, in terms of giving, give to Christ primarily. Give to Him. Try avoid if you give an offering, think I'm giving to a project. Got to get some stuff done, you know, so I give the offering to get the project done. Nothing wrong of giving that way, but it's less than giving to Christ. You want to give to Him. He'll take care of the projects. Or else the project becomes bigger than the Lord to us. Give to the Lord. Next group of expressions will be kneeling. That's just out of respect for the Lord. Come, bow before the Lord and kneel before Him. Do that again in your heart, if not physically. If we kneel sometime on Wednesday night praying, which is a good time, relatively young and in good health, but my back and knees start to ache so much I can't talk to the Lord too well, so then I kneel for a while. Preaching. Okay, we know we're all into that a bit. Greeting one another. That's a way to worship the Lord. Living. I would rather, and I think the Lord would rather have us worship Him well throughout the week, maybe botch it up on Sunday morning, then have a crummy testimony throughout the week. We basically do things for ourselves, thinking about ourselves, and then all of a sudden on Sunday morning we turn it up and we're all excited about the Lord. That doesn't fly with Him. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of worship or act of service. And so the Lord's interested in everything we do being an honor to Him. Our work, to use work as a offering to God, as a worship. You're going to be working 40 hours a week, some of you. Why not make that an act of service to Christ? You'd be surprised how the week will fly. Not everything go well, but you'll honor Him. The contrast, too, of laughter, mourning, and weeping. Those all happen when people worship God. Mourning and weeping, when we know how good God is and we're moved in our hearts. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry. Mourning and weeping when we know we miss our loved ones. We're sad about that. We share that with Christ. You should never apologize about that. Somebody, you know, you say, well, I'm sorry, I was crying in worship. I feel bad for the people who don't cry. You know, let your hearts be what they are before the Lord. And mourning and weeping, too, if you realize you're apart from Christ in some way, you broke His heart. You don't know if He's going to be close to you or not. He will be. He'll welcome a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Scripture says. I want to point out God's Word, which we love, and good habits. Good habits are a way of worshiping God. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath as was His habit or custom. I don't know too much about synagogue worship, but we know enough at that time in history that the people weren't too excited about the Lord Almighty when Jesus was born. They were kind of far away from Him. They missed a lot of them, salvation that showed up. And so when Jesus went to worship, I'm sure He didn't think, man, that was one of the best services I've ever been to. He went anyway. And He's our example. He went to worship the Lord. You go to worship the Lord. Make that a custom, a habit, a heart commitment. And that'll honor the Lord in a great way. Now, the point of all these I wanted to make is this. If it was up to me and my narrow spirituality, I'd pick about three things and I'd say, we're going to do these all the time and we're going to forget the rest. I'd pick preaching, singing, and praying. And I'd say, anybody else who wants to worship the Lord in the other way, I simply can't relate to you. And that would be a mistake. If I did that, I would probably be making preaching and singing and praying the way to the Father. They're not the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father. So if I keep Jesus at the center of whatever expression of worship God has us do, and we'll keep it in a way that people are able to be led by the Spirit in and really be helped, then we really honor God in whatever act of worship we do. I should never say to you, man, if you kneel down, you know, that's not the way to worship God. What's wrong with you? I don't know your heart. Take people's heart as being open to Christ. Let all the expressions of worship honor Him, but don't count on the form to be the way. Count on Jesus to be the way. And you'll, as a young Christian, I didn't enjoy singing at all. I thought, I can't wait till the sermon so we can really get down to brass tacks. Now I love it, singing, and sometimes dread the sermon. There. So worship the Lord from the heart with the many experiences. Third truth about worship, thank you, fellows, is this, that worship is a heart fervent activity led by God Himself. We didn't come up with this idea of worshiping the Lord. He invited us. He initiated it. And we rely on Him to get us here and to have our heart worshiping Him so we could continue to worship as the service starts. The danger, again, is relying on just a particular activity or a form. The Samaritan said this to Jesus when the woman at the well came. She said, hey, we're supposed to worship God on the mountain, but you Jewish folks say it's in Jerusalem. And she wanted to have a debate on which would be the best place. You know what Jesus said? He said, not in the Jerusalem's, not, that's not the point, or on the mountain. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Asking for God's help as we worship, because we don't know anything about Him unless He tells us. If Jesus decided not to show up in this service today, wouldn't we all be spinning our wheels? We say, Lord, please lead us by Your Holy Spirit to help us worship You. We're to worship in truth. Worship God for who He really is, not who we think He is. This is a common mistake. Jesus told the Samaritan woman something kind of rough. He said, you know, you worship somebody you don't even know. That's possible for us to do. We could fool ourselves about God. We have to ask Him, show us, Lord, in the Bible and who You really are in our daily walk so we might connect with You that way. And Psalm 116 responded to the Lord well, I think, in spirit and in truth, as the writer wanted to worship God. They asked this question. Listen to this. What can we bring to God in worship? I have some loved ones who have a lot, and when it's come time to give them something, I think, what in the world am I going to give them? They have everything. It's a little bit what causes our hearts to hesitate in worship. But Psalm 116 said this, what can I give to the Lord for all His benefits to me? There's nothing I can offer Him. But the psalm writer said this, I know what I'll do. I'll call on the Lord. I'll say, Lord, oh, You're great. Help me to know You. And psalm writer said, I'll lift the cup of Your salvation. I'll remember You gave everything so I can know You, dear Jesus. And we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth when we come before Him like a child and He leads us to Himself. We spiritually climb up into His arms or into His care and say, Jesus, help me know You, follow You, obey You this week as the passage was read. Above all, Lord, I want to trust and obey You. That's what You deserve. And when I do that, I'm only one of Your unworthy servants doing what I'm supposed to do. But worship led by the Lord, we need His help and fervent from the heart. Just spend the whole service, your whole week. Say, Lord, help me love You. It'll be a great, great time. The fourth truth about worship is this, and this is a challenge for each one of us. To know we were built for worship. And in any one given time this week, or perhaps even in this service, we are worshiping Christ or we are worshiping an idol. Because our hearts were built for worship, like a bird was built to fly. If you study anthropology, which is the study of different cultures around the world, you discover with anthropologists that everywhere you go, whether you go to a sophisticated country in Europe or a very isolated tribe in Africa, you would discover people worshiping something. That's, our hearts are drawn to that. In the Greek culture, years ago, they were the most intelligent group around. They worshiped Zeus, who was far, far away. He was imaginary. He didn't do him any good. The Romans worshiped Caesar, political power. That won't get you anywhere. If that's a draw to your heart, if you think that's where it's at, think again. The Romans tried it. Secular people worship things. Got to have things. If I have things, I'm on a roll. If I don't have things, I'm miserable. Tribal people tend to worship nature or something in nature. Atheists and agnostics worship pretty much themselves. And you might think back and let the Holy Spirit lead. Wasn't your heart broken when you spent your life worshiping something or someone other than Christ? Didn't you just bang your head against the wall and you find yourself at a dead-end street? Maybe it was just yourself and how you thought life should be. And we only have one shot down the road, you know. We only have one life that we could give, one heart that we could commit ourselves to. Why give our hearts to something that's ultimately going to leave us empty? I just give testimony. Everything I've worshipped other than Christ has left a bad taste in my mouth. And it wasn't the thing. It was me that made the taste bad because I didn't put it under Christ. Bob Dylan, a singer of years ago, said, it might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you'll have to serve somebody. And a testimony of a person I knew in junior high as a motive to turn to Christ and know He's good. This fellow's name was Eric. Bright, friendly, young person. Very intelligent. He was on his way to being the valedictorian, no doubt about it, in our school district. Eric. Friendly kid. You know, not somebody who just books all the time. People person. He grew 9th grade, 10th grade. His heart went away from any Christian background he had toward living for himself. Got into using drugs in a bad way. And what happened to his body was tragic. It was abused to the extent where he couldn't think straight. He had to drop out of school, couldn't hold a job, and his mind was crippled by what he had done to himself. He was haunted by paranoia. It was so sad seeing bright, kind, friendly Eric turn into somebody we'd walk down the street and have to turn around because he thought, you know, life was falling apart for Eric. And that's a sad thing. The Lord loves him where he's at today. And I don't use Eric as an illustration just to say don't take drugs, you know, that'll hurt you, hallucinogenic drugs. But I use Eric as an illustration to say spiritually that's what we're like when we worship anything but Christ. We hurt ourselves. Our minds aren't at peace. Our hearts are restless. And we go through life broken and never given to the one who loves us. You, I'm sure, have tasted and seen the Lord is good. He created you. Just make an appeal here to anybody you know, on the borderline of any kind of decision. He created you. He loves you so much. Loves you more than the best person around you. Loves you more than yourself. And He knows all about you. He's seen you at your worst and loves you the best. And could you know that every good gift you have in your life came from Him? It's all the Lord. And He's brighter still than the gifts He gave you. And He gives you a chance to know Him as a Lord and Savior and best friend. Spend the rest of your days on into eternity worshiping the light of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, God Almighty Himself. Would you pass Jesus by to give your life to dust? Or would you just embrace Him and say, Lord Jesus, You're the one for me. And give your heart in rest and worship and trust and obedience to Him. It's a call He gives us for conversion. It's a call He gives us as believers each day to say, hey, you're my people, but don't worship anything else. Please worship the Lord in the splendor of who He is. We can give ourselves to that today. I anticipate a great week between yourselves, ourselves, and the Lord. So we say, Lord, thanks for the chance to worship with Your people, but most importantly, throughout our days. Might we commit our hearts to Him and know His great care for us. Would you pray with me now? Lord, we lean heavily upon You this morning. We do delight and rejoice in You. We are caught up, Father, by some of the songs that we've sung, times of prayer or even greeting Your good word. Father, I'm reminded of a Christian song that simply tells it like it is and says, everybody's worshiping something. And then the singer says, but I choose You. And that singer decided to give all their devotion, all their heart to You. I pray, dear Jesus, that each of us would make that heart commitment. And in humility, recognize we need Your help to do that. So, Lord, might there be worship to you, even in these moments. Might there be commitments to you, Father, those who may not know you and really are spending their brief life chasing the wind. Might they instead follow hard after you, Jesus, as you've introduced yourself to them this morning. Be with each one here. We pray in your name. Amen.